Okay, Shaiftim v'shaitim titin lecha b'chol sherecha. I saw a very beautiful drush. I don't even know the name of the sefer. And he says there's a shayfet and a shayta. Shayfet we know is a judge. In fact, the pasuk concludes and says v'shaftu esha'am mishpat tzedek. The word mishpat, judgment, is associated with the word shayfet. Shayfet and mishpat, the two words are obviously related. But what is a shayta? So a shayta, Rashi says, is haroidin esha'am achar mitzvasim. It sounds like the police, an officer, those who enforce the law. People who do not actually decide the law, they're not trained, they're not recognized with brilliant minds, clerk for the Supreme Court justices. They're the court officers, they're the police, they're the FBI, they're the ones who are in charge of executing law enforcement. These are the shaitim. But yet here in the pasuk, the two of them are grouped together. Shaiftim v'shaitirim titen lecha b'chol sherecha, you shall appoint in all of your gates. So we still think of these two individuals as two separate individuals. However, the truth is, al derech Jewish, they're one in the same. Now what do we mean they're one in the same? Many times in the halacha, in law, in judgment, the halacha is, you're innocent, but you're really guilty. You get off. What? You're innocent. The law. There are technicalities why we can't mimechayev you, but what you've done is obviously wrong. All the different examples of groma and garmi. Well, groma, you're chayev. We know there's a chumkum called groma and garmi. Groma, you potter. The person caused someone harm. Indirectly, you are chayiv, you are potter bidei Adam, but you're chayiv bidei Shemayim. What the pasuk here is telling us is that a judge, a shaiter, is someone who is a person who enforces, or at least indirectly, the halacha, even when it's not actually the mishpat. In other words, when we take these two words together, you would think which one is the real deal? The real deal is the shayfet, because he's the one that actually decides. He makes a decision. Chayef pater, go to jail, don't go to jail. Tamei tar. The shayter, he's just a lackey. He's just a guy who sits back and he does whatever they tell him to do. It's just the opposite. The shayter is the person that enforces the law, even when you're innocent. A person commits a crime, and the Bezdin says, "What? No, but we don't mean it. But we don't mean it in a negative way. Okay, vigilante. You know, you can't go take the laws into your own hand and go. But we mean it in a moral way. I mean, you have a teacher, a very noble teacher, and he says to his students, or he says to his congregation, Al pi halacha, it's mutter." I want to tell you it's the wrong thing to do. You're not supposed to do this. You've done something in this community. Something has been done. It's wrong. And, let's say you open up two stores, one next to each other. Al pi halacha, you can open up a store, and then one store can open, you can compete. Because, there's enough business for everyone. But it's not right. And because it's not right, I want to impress upon you with Torah and Yiras Shemayim, don't do it. I want to be a shaiter. I want to enforce the law where the law allows you to do otherwise. In order to succeed in doing that, you have to be a very big Baal Madrega. You can't just be, just shoot from the hip. You just want to go tell someone to do something, is it mutter or is it aser? If the halacha is that it's mutter. But when you elevate people through Yiras Shemayim, through sensitivity towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can impress upon them to do the right thing, even though technically it's the halacha does not require you to do so. That's exactly what the pasuk is telling you. Lefnim Meshur Esadin, exactly. But Lefnim Meshur Esadin is not something that you can enforce midin. But that's not something you can appoint midin a shofet. But that is something you can enforce to midin of a shoiter. And we don't mean a shoiter with a stick. We mean a shoiter with a moral stick, with a person who's a yorish shemaim. So when you read the pasuk in face value, we tie each other as a shofet. He's the dayan. He wears the cloak. He wears the garb, the robe. And then there's the shoiter, the policeman who has a gun. The shoiter is only as good as the shofet. If the shofet says yichayiv, so the policeman will enforce the law. Pumfa keret. Shofet. There is the shofet, there is the judge. And then there is the shoiter. The shoiter is the yorei shamayim. Is the talmidei chachamim in society who are sitting at the gates, b'chol sharecha, who are sitting in the base, in the batei dinim, who are sitting in the base medrash, they're sitting in the gates. And they, just their presence, just their existence, inspires people to reach higher levels of yirah shamayim, where they feel compelled to follow the law, even when the shofet says it's mutter. That's what the pasuk is telling you. Shoiftim, I want to appoint judges, because you have to have a judge to tell you chayv and asr. But I also, and that shoifet's going to be put in the sharech, on the gates of the bezdin. And I also want you to appoint shoitrim, talmidei chachamim, who enforce the law through their yirah shamayim, through their moral. What?
Modeling behavior.
Their behavior, the modeling behavior, their morals. Titin b'chol sharecha in the sharim in this context, when you take the word sharim, means in the bate midrashim, in the bate kinesios, in your community, and then you'll be able to follow the law according to the sisa hayashar the hatayf. Okay, let's go.
Nothing to do with enforcing the based in, doesn't have enough witnesses of someone that they know is Russia, and they.
Well, then that's exactly the point. There's certain things you can't do. Many times in halacha, there are legal loopholes or there are technicalities why you don't have to do your pater. Every grama, you cause someone an indirect loss. I'm pater, I've not done anything, but the halacha is even though you pater be the adam, you're only going to have the will to accept upon yourself the obligation to pay a person is only if you are a yorei shemayim. Who is going to inspire you to be a yorei shemayim? You need leaders, you need gedolei Yisrael. That's exactly what the pasuk is telling you. Over here, shoytim means people that are executed. In Rashi says, "Haroidim esa'am who rule, who roidim esa'am achar mitzvasam shemakin." They hit people. The kovsim b'makel over ritzua atchi kabel olav es din hashayfet. That's the pasuk shot. But there's a drush. There's a higher level of being a shoyter, not just being the policeman, of being a person who is a talmud chacham yerushalayim, who inspires you to do what is right. Even after the shofet told you you are potter. Instead of just put the two together in one expression, we can take the two and we can look at the two as being the shofet being on a higher madrega. And sometimes the shofet himself can be the shofet. The shofet can tell you potter maker adin, but yashus requires you that you should go to the next step and you should go. But that's the kohanim. That's a whole different thing. The shaitan in the mechamah, he has a whole different role. That's a whole different role. That's a whole different. That's a different. Let's leave it alone. Let's just focus over here on these two words in the parasha.
Every city has to have.
It's a drush. The drush is a city, the chol sharecha. In every city, you have to have shoftim. That is a given. But you also have to have talmidei chachamim who inspire people to follow what is right.
Not every city has it.
That's a problem in Ochanami. If in New York City, courts talk about secular law. Either you're innocent or you're guilty. I don't want to hear about morals. I have to do it, so let the government pass a law to do it. There's no such thing. You have to pay taxes when you're not chayiv to pay taxes. It's either I have to pay the tax or I don't have to pay the tax. Don't go and start telling me, well, it's the right thing to pay the tax. Nonsense.
That's Warren Buffett's line.
What?
That's Warren Buffett's line. Warren Buffett says that. I'm a billionaire. I don't have to pay. I won't pay.
Because he's anahe. That's what Trump said at the debate. The Trump at the debate says, they asked him, how could you be the president when you've declared bankruptcy multiple times? So if you don't know how to run your own business, so could we trust you running the economy of the United States? So he said, what did Trump say? He says, I didn't ever went bankrupt. I just took advantage of laws. There are certain laws when this situation allow me to cover my losses. So I took advantage of the laws. But you went bankrupt. You went bankrupt. So he's basically saying there's no such thing as your sisa. Well, when you go bankrupt, you're causing someone a loss. No, aren't you causing someone a loss? When you go bankrupt, you have creditors, people you owe money to. So he's basically saying this: I didn't do anything wrong. I just followed the laws. The laws are that in this situation, I don't have to suffer. You have to suffer. So I follow the laws. So when I leave the country as the president of the United States, I'll follow the laws. So don't.
Speak bad about the next president of the United States.
So this is something which may work well in the secular world, but in the Torah world, it does not hold water. In the Torah world, there's something called v'asisa hayashar v'hatoiv, and the drush is there's a shofet and a chinami that tells you what you're chayv and your potter, and there's something called a shoiter. A shoiter means follow the law. What is the law? The law is that chayiv bidei shamayim. If I'm chayiv bidei shamayim, is there anyone here in this world that can force me to pay money? No. I'm potter bidei adam. I'm chayiv bidei shamayim. No one can force me to take a dollar out of my wallet and give it to so and so. But if you are a spiritual shoiter, a shaita is a person who forces people to follow the law. How can you force me to follow the law? The judge has told me I'm potter. But I'm telling you that bidine shamayim, you're chayef to pay the person money. You cause them a loss. It's a grama. A grama is potter bidine adam bidine shamayim. How could you force a person to pay money out of his pocket and give a person money? If you're a shamayim, if you recognize that in shamayim you're chayef and you have a conscience of doing what is a sitzah yoshev ha'atov, then you will take the money out of your pocket and give it to someone else. That's a very high madrega. Ashrei, fortunate is a society that has in their presence talmidei chacham on this level. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here the parsha of Pigel. Pasuk says, "Le'sizbach la'Hashem elokecha shor v'aseh asher yiyeh v'imum." And then it says three more words: "Kol dovor ra," anything that is evil. And then the Torah uses the strongest word it can possibly use in the entire Torah: "Ki soyavas Hashem elokechahu." The word toeva is the most powerful word in the entire Torah. The Torah used the word toeva for mishkav zachar, things that are the ultimate abomination of avodah zarah, the ultimate abomination, we use the term toeva. And yet here, seemingly in a very minor infraction, we're using the word toeva. What's the big deal? I have a shor v'aseh, has a little blemish. So no, there's a little scratch when one of the bones is broken. So big deal, who can even notice the bone is broken, there's something wrong. And this, we're calling it a toeva, an abomination, to offer such thing as a sacrifice of the Shbaruch Hu. It's a very harsh term to use for what does, seems to be a problem, but not such a great problem. So the answer is, you have to look at Rashi. Rashi says, when it says here the word kol dovar ruach, chazal dash, what does it mean dovar? Dovar loshon of dibor. Chazal dash, this refers to pigel. What is pigel? When a person brings a carbon, but the kohen has an evil machshava. Chazal tells us that the pigel is not a machshava, it has to be really done bidibor. When you say that even though this carbon is for Reuven, the kohen says, I'm offering this carbon for Shimon. Well, a pigel, there are two different types of pigel. That's for the wrong ball. Or you have kavana, I'm going to eat. You say, I'm offering the carbon as a carbon chatos. It has to be eaten within one day and one night. I'm going to eat the carbon chatos in 2 days. Chutz lizman. There are two different types of pigle. There's the real pigle, the chiv karis pigle, which is chutz lizman. It's only miyuchet for zman. But sometimes the word pigle is also used in the Torah, also used in the Gemara, in reference to a machshava ra. Even the shloi Shema. We use it for the wrong bones. Sugya Kachma, it's not the real term of pickle, but it's also used sometimes the word pickle. And that's where actually called Dovara, anytime, and how do you use a person causing that comment to be pickle? You have to, it's not enough to think. According, you have to actually, it's really Machlokes Rashi, and Tosfos, but Halacha L'maaseh, so you have to actually speak it out. You have to say, I'm offering this carbon with the intent that I'm going to eat the meat in 2 days from now. Chutz L'zman. That's what the Pasuk of Yeri says. Kol Dovara. Any dibur that is inaccurate in regard to this specific carbon makes it into pickle. Now we understand why it's called a toeva. Kisavas Hashem Elokechu. The Torah is giving us a very strong mussar. What is the ultimate toeva in this world? It's achas bepeh, the achas belev, or where you're not. You behave in a way that is not consistent with what you think in your mind, or you a double life. You appear to have a double life to the outside world. I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, Reuven is coming to bring a carbon, I'm offering the carbon, all seems fine and good, but secretly, I say to myself, when I offer the carbon, I couldn't care less. I'm going to offer this carbon for someone else, I'm offering this carbon to be sacrificed, I'm going to eat it 3 days from now. When you live a double life, when you make believe on the outside, it appears to be all fine and good, but on the inside, it's a davara, there's a machshav of pigle, which Rashi says is mamish pigle, that is in machshav, that's why he says davar. Davar means dibur, davara. You have to speak it out, but the idea is, it's things do not appear to be on the inside the way they appear on the outside. That hello, so it's a Musar Haskel. Everything in life is Kachem. You come to the base Hakanesses. I'm coming to do a holy matter. I'm coming to daven. I'm coming to learn. So I appear to be a fine member of society. But behind closed doors, I have another life. I have a double life. I do things that I would be embarrassed. I would not want people to know about behind closed doors. That indeed is what the Pasuk here says, a to'eva, is the worst thing possible. To pretend to be who you are not. To behave to the world one way, and secretly under the hood to be doing something else. Indeed, the Pasuk is pressing upon us, this indeed is a to'eva. Every time we do service for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Unashalma Farim Sifasenu. We are offering karbanos. We are fulfilling lo sizbach l'Hashem elokecha shor v'seh. When we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the equivalent of offering sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't go bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sacrifice, come and daven and present yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with mumim, with blemishes. What kind of blemishes? Kol dovara. It's just make believe. To here, in front of the tzibur, I make believe to be a tzaddik. But really, I'm a different person. Really, deep down inside, I'm not who I appear to be. Indeed, this type of behavior, the Pasuk concludes, is Kisavas Hashem Elokecha Hu.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah?
All these Baal Shuvahs, they come in, we put them on film, and we do something.
Okay, that's right. A process. A Baal Shuvah is the beginning of a process. You can't expect exactly. Better. We're talking about people who are from birth and are fine members of society and come and present themselves as being big tzaddikim. And then we discover these people are filled with scandals. They're ganovim, they're gazlanim, behind closed doors, they're doing terrible things. Abuse and this and that. What? It's business. This, the Torah says, is a to'eva. I believe there's a very powerful limud mussar. You look at the Rashi. Again, the question is a very strong question. Just because I bring a blemished animal, that's called a to'eva? It's not the word you use for a to'eva. But when Rashi tells us, look in the Gemara, and he says, Pasuk Aleph, what it says, Dovar, Azhara l'mefagel b'kadoshim. This pasuk dovar is an azhara warning. You should not be mefagel kadoshim al yidei dibura. Oh, now in Taka we understand why this is called a to'eva. Because when it appears to be one way on the outside, and secretly it's you're having kavana to do something different, that is something which is very disturbing, and it requires the harshest terms possible. So let's go to another idea. What? Okay, let's jump quickly to the case of the melech. We're jumping around. We have here in this week's parasha the mitzvah of soim tosim olecha melech. The melech has a few requirements. Rak lo yarbe lo susim. He should not have too many horses. There are three requirements. Give you anyone who wants to be a king. Only three requirements. You should not have too many horses. Number two is you should not have too many wives. Lo yarbe lo nashim. And number three, v'chesev v'zachov lo yarbe lo me'od. Not too much money. Rashi, on Pasuk, when he talks about the horse, says something very, very, very interesting. Rak lo yarbe, what's so terrible to have horses? So the Pasuk says, v'lo yashiv es am mitzrayma. If you have too many horses, you're going to go back to Egypt. Why in the world would a king who has too many horses want to go back to Egypt? So Rashi says something very important, because do you know where they come from? Horses come from Egypt.
Right.
Let me read the words. Shlo yashiv es am mitzrayma shehasusim. All horses. That's where they come from. All horses originate in Egypt. Shehasusim bo'im misham. Kama shenemar b'shloimai v'tale v'teitzei merkavim mitzrayim b'sheish meos kesef v'susim mechat mechishim meya. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Many of us over here drive foreign cars. Anyone over here running to Japan, running to North Korea, South Korea? Anyone here jumping to, I don't know, where is Toyota? Where is Toyota? Japan and the Hyundais. The Hyundais are South Korean. What?
Most of the models are assembled in the United States.
Oh, so that's what the answer is. They all have American corporations. They not only are assembled, they're made 100%. Almost everything is made in the United States. Just
American cars are made in Mexico.
Oh, very. So do we have a problem? So obvious, okay, we don't really appreciate this, because that's really the answer, because when it's say a Japanese car, a foreign car, the truth is everything really comes from wherever it comes from. But the Rashi here is telling us a very fascinating yisod, is that a person has an etiyah to always go back to his shirish. The neshama, a human being is a spiritual creature, because a person's neshama comes from shamayim. A person has an etiyah to go back to where you have come from. If a king has too many horses, it's only natural that over a period of time, the king is going to be finding himself being drawn to Mitzrayim. Because this is where horses come from. And it's human nature to be drawn to your shirish. Now, if we want to be brave, we can go a step further. Let's go to number three. You may not have Kesef v'zahav. Why? Where does Kesef and Zav come from? The ground. That's where it comes from. You have to quarry gold and silver from the ground. A king that has too much gold and silver will become mushrush in where the Kesef and Zav come from. Will become materialistic. It's not just gold and silver, affluence, gaiva. Kesef v'zahav, if you treasure these things, your mind is occupied with gold and silver. Where do gold and silver come from? They don't come from Shemayim. You don't climb up to heaven to retrieve gold and silver. You go deep, deep, deep within the ground. The further you go in the ground, the more distance you separate yourself from Shemayim, from spirituality. You become attached to the earth. Not so much attached to wealth. You become attached to things that come from the ground. Now, what about too many wives? Lo yarve lo nashim. When Chava was created, what did Hashem do to Adam in order to bring about the creation of Anisha? Tardema. Vayapel lakim al Adam tardema. What happened to Shlomo HaMelech? Where do we find Shlomo HaMelech when he took too many wives? Where was the root of his sin? The example the Torah gives him to describe his sin. On the day of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech overslept. He slept. Bathsheba had to come to Shlomo HaMelech at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was already the Zman Tefillah was coming to an end. The Tamei Shel Shachar had to come and wake him up. And that was a punishment. That was all an outgrowth of Lo Yarbe Lo Noshim. He took for himself too many wives. He wanted to make a political alliance with all of the kings of the world, including Bas Paro, the superpower of the world at that time. He took that and he overslept. So why did the chait come about that he overslept? She influenced him to worship. She built temples in honor of Avodah Zarah, but Chazal give a very strong emphasis to the fact that on the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash that day he slept, because an Isha came to an Adam. The shorish of an Isha was in a matzav of Tardema, and in Tardem a person is pulled after the shirish of everything that he has. And that is why Bedavkut came out in this way, where Shlomo HaMelech, he was in a matzav of Tardema at the time of the Chanukah space HaMikdash. So this Rashi is a powerful Rashi. Susim come from Mitzrayim. By being drawn after Susim, we're going to go back to our Shurish. And that is true for all other things in life as well. Okay, let's go to another idea.
You say Torah is the Shurish.
In Shemayim. So the more person focuses on Torah, the more he's being Mushi, the more he's drawing himself back to his Shurish, Shemayim, from where he has come from. Okay, let's go to another idea. Well, here we have the word that when Moshiach Melech, he took for himself more than the 18 wives, it says in the Chazal that the Yud came to complain before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it says in the Pasuk, v'lo yarbe loy noshim v'lo yosu levavo v'chesem v'zo lo yabalo. So the question we only question is question, why was it the Yud? For all the letters, and the whole Pasuk Shef presented itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why from all the words of the Pasuk, v'lo yarbe loy noshim, what was it? Was it the Yud that came to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Shlomo Melech has ignored? Hashem said, many Shlomos will be bottled, 1,000 Shlomos will be bottled, but the Yud, the smallest letter of the Torah will never become bottle. But why was it the Yud present itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to complain? So the Farshim give a whole number of answers. One answer is that the Yud represents the Lashon Osit, the future. Shlomo HaMelech said, it doesn't apply to me, it applies to the future kings. I represented the first king. He wasn't the first. David was the first, but he was the first king that actually was Sholem, that built the Beis HaMikdash. He reached the state of Hashlemus. So we felt that when it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yar Beloi Nashim, it's written B'Loshon Osid, so he's the first or the second. It doesn't apply to him, it applies to all of the future kings. So that's why the Yud came, because the Yud is always the letter that is used to indicate the future tense. That's one answer. Another answer I saw is, it says the bigger question, why was Shlomo HaMelech a legitimate king? Shlomo HaMelech comes from David, who comes from Moab. Lo yavoi amoini uma'ovi b'kahal Hashem. And the only reason why David was able to excuse himself, David was able to become the Melech, was because it says in the Pasuk, Lo yavoi amoini, there's an extra yud. Pasuk could have said Lo yavoi amoin umayav b'kahal Hashem. Had the Pasuk said Lo yavoi amoin umayav, there's no exceptions. Then the whole nation of Amon Umayav is not allowed. But being that it says Lo yavoi amoini with a yud at the end, umayavi, that is what allowed Chazal to make the drasha Moavi v'loy Moavis. Amoini v'loy amoinis, and that allowed, gave them a Pesach to make the drasha, because the time of the Kra, and midarka, who is the one who has the derech to give, to go forth with lechem and mayim? Only the men, not the women. So that's what opened up the drasha for Chazal, the extra yud in the word Moavi. So here it was this yud, it's not the yud of Lo Yarbe Lo Noshem. It was the yud of the Moavi that presented itself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to complain, why did you allow this person to come in to become the Melech? He really comes from Yichus that is not 100%. It's only because you made an exception. But now that he has taken for himself too many wives, and they have led his heart astray by worshipping idols, look what has come. So Hashem says, you're right, do not worry. 1,000 Shlomos will be become bottled, but you, my yud, will not become bottled. So the truth is, we're now focusing on the yud of the word lo yarbe. We're focusing on the word of the yud of the word moavi. Okay, these are two popular answers to the question. Another answer I want to suggest is because the letter yud represents the concept of the tzibur. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. We learned this week. This week we discussed the idea that you have to have 10 people. Yasara rishonim. We learned it from Avraham Avinu. Ulayesh asara tzadikim. If there are 10 people, the 10 people brings down the shechina. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. We make gzeret shavah toich toich. Ad mosa le'edu hora hazos yotzu yishu v'kolev. 10 people bring the Shechina. Shlomo HaMelech, or not only Shlomo HaMelech, many people feel that if you're part of a tzibur, the zuchus of the tzibur will protect you. That's a very dangerous concept. That I can do what I need to do, because I'm not doing it as an individual, I'm doing it on behalf of the tzibur, on behalf of the group. Hashem, so therefore that is why Shlomo HaMelech, when he took for himself 10 wives, he took more than 18 wives, what was his excuse?
Political
reasons. What's the political reasons? I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the Tzibor. I want there to be a political alliance for Klal Yisrael, for the nation of Klal Yisrael, and the Ummah Solom, which should be protected. Maybe when it says in the Pasuk that a king cannot take for himself more than 18 wives, that's for personal reasons. I'm not going to take more than 18 wives. I don't need more than 18 wives. But I'm not taking more than 18 wives for myself. I'm doing it for you, Klal Yisrael. You should have some partners out there in the world, some people covering your back. This is something which many people who work for or different institutions work for the tzibur. They feel certain entitlements. There are certain things I would not do for myself, but there are certain risks that I'm going to do on behalf of the tzibur, on behalf of the yud. To that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore the yud, it was Medavka, the yud that came to complain, the yud that represents the tzibur. Hashem said, Lo yarbe lo inoshim, no ands, if and buts, no exceptions, not just for the individual, but for the tzibur. You're not allowed to violate Hashem's command. Hashem said to the yud, you're right. Shlomo had no excuse to violate the trust of the tzibur. And this is a very powerful limud mussar, that if you are working for a tzibur, you have even a greater responsibility not to violate the yud. The yud is the trust of the tzibur. Okay.
So it's only on the... It doesn't go for the susim.
Well, the Gemara only focuses on the Chazal only is on the yud. When Chazal tell us that this complaint, so maybe you're right. So you can say the same thing. You can say the same thing for those as well. Why only the yud? Why was it specifically the yud? This is a very good question. A lot of them farshim, they struggle with this. They struggle. So I told you two popular answers. It's the future tense, or it is the yud of the Moavi, but I think a very simple answer is the yud represents the tzibur. And the excuse we always find by leaders is that I'm not doing it for personal reasons, I'm doing things that are not 100% legitimate because for the tzibur. You use the tzibur as an excuse to bend the rules. You're not allowed to do that in halacha. Halacha is halacha for you, it's halacha for the tzibur. There is no excuse to bend the rules.
By women, not by
shush. Everything he bent the rules. So Chazal only. Okay. But by women, it's clear he did it for political reasons. When we talk about money, I mean, you have to assume he didn't take the money for himself. He took the money in order for Klal Yisrael. The Malchus should be a strong Malchus. Okay, let me tell you a nice verb from Rav Chaim Shulevitz, a very short, simple verb from Rav Chaim Shulevitz. We learned about the Mulchama. We learned about that when there's a Mulchama, the Shaiter, he stands up. The Qayyim Ashur Muhammad says, anyone that built a bias and did not inaugurate the home should go home. Anyone that is betrothed but did not conclude the marriage with Nisun may return. Anyone that built planted a vineyard but did not take the fruits on the fourth year can go home. And then he says, Mil ish hayor berach halevav yelech v'yoshev v'bamuchama. And here he goes on to explain v'lo yimas levavo. We learn of Chaim Shalom's, we learn how important it is not to melt, not to cause another fellow Jew to despair, to lose hope. V'lo yimas levavo. You should not melt the hearts of your fellow Jew. And because of this one person, we don't want to embarrass him, so that's why we send away so many other people. We don't want one person to be cause other people their hearts to melt. Rav Chaim Shulevit says that this is so, al midara. Al achas kama v'kama. We only can imagine how much reward there is for a person, how we can overturn the whole world in honor of a person that is mechazek, his friend. Because of this one person who we don't want to cause tsar to be cause his fellow to be miyayish, all of these people go home for free, everyone goes home, can you imagine how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn over his world to give reward to a person that does the opposite? Mida toiva meruba mimidas peronis. Hashem will reward a person that is mechazik, his fellow man, when he finds himself in a difficult matzav and he needs chizuk, and people come to his rescue to strengthen him. Alachas kam v'kama, Hashem will reward him. Okay, let's go to another idea. We'll talk about this. We have two expressions. We have the expression here of Milish Hayorei V'rachalevav Yelech V'yoshov Leveso. Why are there two expressions? What is the difference between Yorei and Rach Levav? So at once, there is an idea that is expressed by the Gra. The Gra says that on the Yom Noram we give din the cheshbain. And the Gra asks the question, what exactly is the difference between din and cheshbain? The Gra says din is the averos that a person has done. Cheshbon literally is translated as calculation. And it means the mitzvos a person could have been doing during the time that he did the avera. To do an avera, sometimes it takes time. It could take hours to succeed in doing the sin. During that period of time when you're doing the sin, think of all of the mitzvos you could have been doing. This is what it means, din v'cheshbon. Din is punishment for the actual sin itself. Cheshbon is the pain and suffering the neshama endures, has to suffer, because it wasted time. That time was not used to be mekayim Torah umitzos. So you could what? There's machshava also, but forget about the machshava. The fact that the neshama lost out on the mitzvos that it could have accomplished during that slot of time that was spent doing the avera. Whatever it is, not only bittel Torah, bittel mitzvos. Every time you have in this world is an opportunity. So that opportunity was squandered because the person was busy doing the avera. So not only is he going to be punished for the sin, he's also going to feel pain that he wasted time. That time could have been used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can take that exact same idea, you can apply it to this pasuk as well. It says here, Mihu ish v'yasu hashaitrim ledaber elam v'yamru mihu ish hayorei v'rachalevav. What is the person upset about? Number one, he's upset. Rashi says, sh'avero shebiyado. All it needed to say is, Mihu ish hayorei. Hayorei. I've done averos. But the truth is, there are people out there in the world that averos, it's water off a duck. Okay? I have a lot of averos. Let bygones be bygones. But to some people, what really bothers them is, I could have accomplished a lot more in life. When you see someone else that has something that you do not have, you get jealous. What am I jealous? I also could have had that. I'm not upset at, say, you see someone in Russia and he's suffering for his averos. Okay, he did averos, I did averos. But there's a different approach to a person's mind. Some people, what triggers them, what inspires them, what causes sadness is the fact that they wasted their time. And that's exactly what the pasuk here says. A person over here is going to war, he's going to war, and he really sees that his life is flashing before him, he may die. And he's yore from his averos, but he's also yore from Berach HaLevav, that he could have accomplished in his life great things, but instead he wasted his time. And that frame of mind can melt the hearts of his comrades. It's contagious. And that is why the person has to be sent home from battle. So just trying to point out is that there are two different expressions here. There's the expression Yorei, there's the expression Rach Levav. I want to say is that Yorei corresponds to the din. The rach levav corresponds to the cheshbon. According to the gra, there is punishment for sin, and then there is sadness for an opportunity that has been lost. In war, it's the same thing. Person is afraid he's going to die. Some people focus on their sins. Some people focus on what they have not yet accomplished in life, and that can be yimas levav echav. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here the word in the beginning of the parasha. I just want to point out there's a difference of spelling in the word smo. In the beginning of the parasha, it tells us that a person should not deviate from the commandments yamin usmol. It's a very important pasuk. This pasuk is the makar for every mitzvah derabanan. Pasuk says leisasu mikol asher yomru lucha yamin usmol al pi hatara asher yorucha. The Al Hamishpat Asher Yom Lucha Taselo Sosur Minadavar Asher Yagidu Lucha Yomin Usmal. Rashi translates, don't turn away from what they tell you, even Yomin. If they tell you that your Yomin, your right hand is your left. And then he goes on to say, left, right. And Kol Shekain, if they tell you your right is right and your left is left, don't deviate from the words of Chazal. This is the source for every mitzvah derabon. Every mitzvah derabon is a semi-mitzvah deraisa, because the pasuk authorizes the words of Chazal with this pasuk. Now, in this pasuk, it says the word small without a vav. Loisasur, menadavar sheyilcho yomin. How do we spell small? Sin, mem, aleph, lamed. You could spell the word small with a vav. Sin, mem, vav, aleph, lamed. But there is no vav. Where else do we have the word small in the sixth parasha? By the melech. The melech is supposed to have a sefer Torah. Is supposed to read from the sefer Torah. He's supposed to have yira shamayim. The ha'isa imo. The karuvo kol yimei chayav. Leman yilmad liyira es Hashem elokav. Lishmar es Now here, small is spelled with a vav, not after the mem. I made him say after the aleph. After the aleph, sin, mem, aleph, vav, lamed. So the question over here is, why by the melech is there an extra vav, and why by an individual is there no vav? Is it chaser? The answer is very simple. It all depends on where you're headed. When it comes to the individual, we're warning him, don't deviate from the words of the shofet, yamin usmal. Sometimes a person will think, I'm not going to deviate a lot, just a little bit. I'm just going to go a little bit off to the left. Just a mashu. Pasuk says, small chaser. Even a small that is lacking, that's missing the vav, which is symbolic, has a connotation of just a teeny little deviation, even that, I'm warning you, don't change, don't deviate from the words of the Chacham. The king is telling him, you better watch out. Levilti rum levavo. If you're not going to read from the Sefer Torah, you're not going to learn to fear Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what's going to happen to you, Melech? You're going to go off. And when you, and I'm warning you, you think, big deal, I'll go off. How far can I go already? I'll go off just a little bit. It's a warning. Levilti rum levavo me'achavu levilti sur min ha-mitzvah yaminu smol. That if you're not going to listen to what it says in the Torah, the king has potential to go to the left, mole. You'll go, who knows where you'll go off. You can go off all the way. And indeed, we do find that during the time of the Bayis Rishon, the kings, Malchei Yisrael, even the Malchei Yehuda, they went, it just starts off with a little bit. And before you turn around, you go down the slippery slope and you go all the way to the extreme left. So the Sach HaKol is, we have two smalls in this week's parasha. We have the left, we have the individual, the warning, don't deviate even a mashu, and we have the result. If you do find yourself and you do begin to deviate, you can end up going all the way to the extreme. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have here the mitzvah of the melech. Melech says that the melech, when it comes to melchama, So it says, "Mi hayorei v'rach halevav yelech v'yoshov leveso." Why? Because we don't want you to melt the hearts of your comrades. Rashi tells us, what kind of sin are we dealing with? We're dealing with a sin, afilu soch bein tefila letzfila, which means simply between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. Question is, why from all of the possible sins did Chazal select the sin of talking between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh? It's interesting. We think of this to be the way Chazal presents as a very minor sin. The truth is, no one does this aver. No one even has the yetzar to do this aver. People, they do averus. What do? They talk lashon hara, talk during davening. When was the last time you met a person that spoke between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh? It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You want to talk? You'll talk during Chazaras HaShatz. You want to talk? You'll talk during Pesukei DeZimra. You don't see people talking between the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So why did Chazal give this as an example of Asach Bein Tefilo L'Tefilo? It's a very disturbing example of an Avera. Chazal illustrated an Avera Kal. So I want to suggest the reason as follows. When you put on Tefillin, Chazal tell us, putting on Tefillin involves emes, truth. Call, when you recite Kriya Shema, call Ha'omer Kriya Shema, beloy, with a person, I don't know the exact words, if you recite Kriya Shema, and you're not wearing tefillin, it's ki'ilu neyud edu sheker ba'atzmo. It's a very important halacha that you're not allowed to recite Kriya Shema if you're not wearing tefillin. And this indeed is a very big problem on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, it is our minhag, we do not wear tefillin b'shachris. And if you look in all of the literature, the rabbinic literature, the number one problem of not wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av is, but how then can you say Kriya Shema? How are you allowed to say Kriya Shema if you're not wearing tefillin? And the answer, the most popular answer, is that since later in the day you're planning on putting on tefillin, so it's not being made a deshaker. Normally, you have not allowed to recite Kriya Shema unless you're wearing tefillin. But b'shas adchak, if you have kavana that later in the day you will put on tefillin, then it's not called you being made a deshaker. So when you're putting on the tefillin is a fulfillment of not. It's all with the kavana to some one degree. There are many dimensions in this. But when you're putting on tefillin every single day in the morning, part of that kavana is because today I have to testify. Later in the day, I have to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You have to eat Hashem Elokecha, and you're going to mention the Kesharatom LaOsal Yedech VaYul LeTotafos BeNinecha. I'm going to say these things, all part of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, part of what Hashem wants from us when we declare Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Yehafta, and Hashem wants us to wear a sign. I don't want to be made a desheker. Putting on tefillin is part of the process of preparing to testify emes. If a person does not take the wearing of tefillin seriously, to the point where seriously, he lacks in the midah of emes. If you are willing to say Kriya Shema and not wear tefillin, you're a shakran. There's something fundamentally wrong with you. I'm willing to say Kriya Shema. I'm not putting on tefillin the whole day. I have no kavanah to put on tefillin the whole day. That's a very big problem. It's a very big problem to say Kriya Shema, no tefillin. But what about if you just lax in how you put on the tefillin? I'm wearing the tefillin. I'm putting on the tefillin. I'm putting on the tefillin shel yad. I'm putting on the tefillin shel rosh. I'm a tzaddik, and I'm going to say Kriya Shema. So I'm not being made a desheker. But if you don't put on tefillin the right way, there is a mashuhu in your midah of emes. If I put on the tefillin shel yad, and then I have a conversation, and then I put on my tefillin shel rosh, I don't take the tefillin very seriously. So what? So what don't I take it seriously? Well, putting on tefillin, besides the mitzvah of tefillin itself, but also is there so that when you say Kriya Shema, I'm leaving out one important point. Chazal, I left out this very important point. when the Shofet encourages the people, he says the words Shema Yisrael. Atem kravim hayom la milchama alay vechem al yirach levavchem al tiru gel tach bezuv yal ta'artzu mipnehem. What does Rashi say on Shema Yisrael? Afilu eincha biyotcha ela kriya shema bilvad. That's enough to be spared. You don't need groysa zuchusim to survive war. You go out to war, you think you need to be the Gadol Hadar. You don't need to be the Gadol Hadar. All you need to be is a person who says Kriya Shema. If only the zechus you have is Kriya Shema, that Allah enough. That itself is enough to be inspired. But if you say Kriya Shema, you gotta be an ish emes. You gotta be a person of integrity. And part of wearing tefillin, one of the reasons, it can very possibly, why we wear tefillin every single day is because we say Kriya Shema every single day. Doesn't say beferish in the pasuk you should wear it. There's a whole question of how often do you have to wear tefillin today. So what is miyamim mimimah? It's machlekes. So first of all, machlekes is miyamim mimimah going on Karban Pesach, or is miyamim mimimah going on tefillin? If miyamim mimimah is going on Karban Pesach, it means from year to year, once a year. You only bring the Karban Pesach once a year. When we say in the Kinnis about the Benu Bas of Rabbi Shmuel, we say Miyamim Yamima, which simply means we think about Benu Bas of Rabbi Shmuel once a year. The word Miyamim Yamima, according to one interpretation of Chazal, means once a year. And indeed, it's mashma. There's some want to suggest that in the time of Chazal, where tefillin were very rare, they didn't wear tefillin. The minhag was not to wear tefillin every single day. They wore tefillin occasionally. On special events. Today, that's not bikursus in our generation. Today, you don't go a day, you wouldn't dare let a day go by without wearing tefillin. But one of the main reasons why we have to wear tefillin every single day, according to Chazal, is because we're going to say we have an obligation every single day to say Kriya Shema. And when you say Kriya Shema, if you're not wearing the tefillin, you're being made Eid Sheker. We're going to Milchama. What is the zechus we're using for? What is the zechus we're using for to survive the Milchama? Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We have to tefillin. And what is the chait that we're afraid of that's going to take away from us the mitzvah of tefillin? V'yato Shema Yisrael Soch Bein Tefila L'Tefila. What's the problem of Soch Bein Tefila L'Tefila? Well, let's discuss something more fundamental. What's the problem of not wearing tefillin altogether? You're not going to wear tefillin altogether, and you're going to rely upon the zechus of Kriya Shema. You're a shakron. You're a person that's made Eid Sheker. A person that is made Eid Sheker is fundamentally flawed. You're not a human being. There's no way you're going to survive Milchama. That's why Chazal say, forget about not wearing tefillin altogether. Even if you're soch bein tefila litzvila, you are mezalzel, a mashuhu in the degree of your integrity, that's why you have to already be afraid of dying in Milchama. Okay, so it takes on a whole new meaning. Again, the ikar zechus to survive Milchama is Kriya Shema. Once we're in Kriya Shema, you have to wear tefillin. You should not be made Eid Sheker. Now we understand why Rashi tells us the chait that you're afraid of is being soch bein tefila l'tefila. Because what is the most important thing? What is the most important meter a person can use in a zechus to survive all the troubles of life? Integrity. Ish emes. What is Moshe? Moshe says that's the tzedek tiv, to be an ish, to be anshe emes sone botza, ish emes. We wear tefillin that we should be meyud edus emes. If we are mezalzel in putting on the tefillin, it's not so important to us. If it's not so important to us in the way we put on tefillin, it shows that the emes is not 100%. If the emes is not 100%, then our zechus of Kriya Shema is not going to work. Because part of the saying the zechus of Kriya Shema is to be anshe emes. Alright, let's go to another quick idea. We have here the Navi Sheker. The Navi Sheker is warned, he's going to be put to death if he says things that he did not hear. But there's something very, very interesting that it says about the Navi Sheker. He says something, Asher lo tzivi siv l'daber. V'hayoh ish, Asher lo yishma es devar asher yidaber b'shmi, yonoch yedosh mimo, ach ha-Navi asher yozil l'daber devar b'shmi, eis asher lo tzivi siv l'daber. Rashi tells us there are three possible reasons why a Navi Sheker is put to death. Number one, he makes up something that he never heard. Number two, he says something in the name of Avodah Zarah. Number three, he says something that is true, was absolutely true, but was not told to him. It was told to another Navi. And he just happened to intercept the transmission. Hashem sent a message to Navi Aleph. He overheard the intercepted transmission. He took it for himself. No, he's a true Navi. He's a true prophet. He's the real deal. He carries a card. He's part of the chevra of the Nevi'im. He's accepted. But in this particular instance, he intercepted someone else's prophecy. What? Eldad umeidin. No, maybe it was meant for them to speak, or they heard. Rashi here says, Rashi on this says, Pasuk Chaf. Asher tzivi siv lechaveroi. I've commanded this to his friend. You're also a Navi, but it was not meant for you. And Rashi goes on to summarize the three. Shloisha misasim midei adam hamisnabe mashalo shama. Number one, number two, mashaloi nemar loy, but the nemar lachaveroi, the hamisnabe b'shem hodes kochavim. So you learn over here an incredible musar hamusar, is that sometimes you can be 100% right, and you can be deserving. You could have all the experience, and you're entitled to this. It's your entitlement, and what you're doing is right, but it's just not your place. Like sometimes you come to a shul, you know, there are rabbis, they get very tempted. They come to a shul, and the rabbi is not there, so they want to fill in for the rabbi. I've seen this sometimes. The rabbi is not there, and there's another person there. It's not kedai. The people should be just milling about. Should be milling about and talking to Mincha Marv. So let me get up and give a shir. Should not be Bittul Torah. And after all, I'm Roy Lukach. I'm a rabbi. I'm a card-carrying member. I'm a rabbi of my own shul. And I'm even a bigger Talmud Chacham than the rabbi over here in this shul. And what I say, they like me more. They like me even more because I know I get the feedback. What I say they like, and they're not so happy with their rabbi. And he gets them and he gives a drasha. So what did he do? Did he do anything wrong? He would just over al kol haTorah kula. It's not your place.
Nobody sends
it. What? No, the rabbi sends you, that's different. But I've seen this in the shul. I've seen this. I've seen this more than once. I've seen this, and I found out. And I found out the rabbi.
While I was there.
And the rabbi was not happy. And I know for a fact the rabbi was not happy. So look at this. This is a modern day example of where it says here Chiv Misa. And this is not just the case. This is true in every field, every profession.
Those guys have predicted the wind.
And everywhere in life, everything in life is that just because you are entitled, just because you are knowledgeable, and everything is right, you're still dead wrong. You have here a person who is a true Navi. He speaks to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem communicates with him. The message he's giving is 100% emes. The audience is the same audience. The only thing was, I was not the one that was told to relay the message. It was given over to another person. You have violated someone else's territory. You have violated someone else. It's a very frightening. Achanavi asher yozil daber davar b'shmiya es asher lo tzivi siv. I've commanded this. I have commanded that this should be said. I've commanded that this is the audience. And you also a Navi. He's your chaver. It means you also a Navi. But not you. Hashem wants this person, every person has their time and their place. And when you violate that person's territory, you're touching, you're doing something very, very harmful. Ad kedei kach, that it is equated with saying over prophecy in the name of an avodah zara. It's equivalent to saying over something that was never meant to be said. It's a very extreme type of example. But yet, that's what the Torah says, and then there's a very powerful limud musar to learn.
That's why at the end of which I forgot which Masechta, the last block, about two nevi'is seem to be the same, and the Gemara has a hard time explaining why one would say something that seemed like from a previous Navi.
And it wasn't, they explained the difference. It's someone Zachariah and somebody else, I forgot.
Okay, another quick short var. We learn here the Zeroya v'halichoyayim v'hakeva. These are the matnois kahuna. A lot of the mefarshim, many mefarshim discuss the inyan. Why dafta these three? So some want to say is that the zeroya corresponds to the fact that the kohanim do the avoid with their hands. They use their right hand to do shchita. Reward. What about the l'chaim, the tongue? The tongue is or the jaw, because they give the brachas, birchas kohanim. The akeva, they eat the karbonos. When the kohanim eat the karbonos, the ba'olim receive kapar. So therefore it's chelef avoidasam. That is one interpretation. Rashi, though, says something very different. Rashi, something very surprising. Rashi connects the zroya, the halichoyayim, the akeva, specifically to Pinchas, the akeva.
He says the
Keva
is for
Bedika,
Schar Bedika.
The Schar, should not be a Treifa. Yeah. Okay. But Rashi is something very, very strange. Rashi says that the reason why they get these gifts, I'll read the words of Rashi, Darshe Rishuma is Hoyu Oimrim, Zeroya Tachas Yad, corresponds to the hand, whose hand? The hand of Pinchas. What did Pinchas do? Vayikach roimach biyodai. He picked up a spear in his hand to kill Cosby, and Zimri. And then when it says lichayayim tachas tfilosh vayamod Pinchas vayifalel Pinchas kabbani, was mispalel that Hashem during in this event Pinchas was mispalel during this whole event that he should be successful in killing them. Vakeva tachas soisha el kovasa, he threw it. So we hear it's very bizarre. The Rashi is telling us that all kohanim, all future generations, the reason why they're going to receive these gifts, which are very significant gifts, the zroya vehalichayayim vakeva, is in reward for what Pinchas did. Now, here's what's very interesting, is that Pinchas, what he did, was not called, he was not called upon to do this. Pinchas, that was not his job. Pinchas wasn't even a Kohen. The job of a Kohen is to do the Avodah, Berchas Kohanim. Yet, for all generations, the Kohanim are going to receive Chelef Avodasan. The exchange for their service is in reward, is given for something that was not even part of the job. It's something which you did because it was the right thing to do. I'm serving Hashem. No, a bonus, overtime. My job is over. I'm not obligated to do this, but it's the right thing to do, and I have the ability to do it, and therefore I'm going to do it. This is a very powerful limit of Musa in reward. Chazal, in fact, they say this in regard to reward for mitzvahs. Schar b'hayal malekah. The reward a person receives in this world, there is no reward. A person is put in this world to do Torah mitzvahs, and this world is tested upon him. There is no reward for mitzvahs. But there is reward. The reward you get in this world is for, just like Pinchas, this is the model, it's for the overtime. When you live a life of Torah mitzvahs, and you'll know what's right to do, and then you go lefnim yishur sadin, out of realizing what is proper to do, you throw in the bonuses that you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the pasuk here says: Chelef Avodasan. Do you want to know why the Kohanim are going to be then in this world, for all generations? The Zeroya, the Alachayan, the Akeva. It's not because of the avoda that they do. It's because of the extra lifnim mishuras hadin that their ancestor did. That's where you're going to receive reward in this world. So Musa Haskell to us that when we do things in this world, we have to realize that there's more than just what is required of us. Hilesva, we have in this parasha, let's talk in l'cha matzeva. A person may not erect a matzeva, which means a stone, a mound of stones, even though this was something which we don't today put multiple stones. We only use one stone, but because begoyim, they would make a stone and they would offer avodah zarah to a single stone. So we are not allowed. But the Bali Musa, right, the very powerful Liman Musa, that in life a person should not put up his own matzeva. A matzeva means it's all over. a person has to be in life flexible. Nothing in this world is etched in stone. A matzeva represents, it's a drush, matzeva represents it's all over. There's no more room to move. There's nowhere to go. It's over. L'sasim l'cha matzeva. As long as you're alive, there's nothing that's etched in stone. There's always possibility for change. There's always a possibility to go forward. And the person just has to take that to heart, that
not to be an
mahalich. Okay, with that sober note, we'll conclude. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Anyone?